for you.
So we get the business right around the time we fill her, everybody, right? You got this right, this story? Every library, almost every library.
Does business mean check out?
Except for the part where people.
Check out and check in and route ins and route outs.
All right, why don't we get started? I'd like to call the Library Joint Powers Authority Board of Monday, February 1st, 2010 to order. Can we have a roll call?
Yeah. Supervisor Leopold? Citizenmember Gert?
Here.
Citizenmember Gorson?
Here.
Councilmember Byers?
Here.
Citizenmember Poitinger?
Here.
Councilmember Reed?
Here.
Councilmember Rockin?
Here.
Supervisor Stone?
Here.
And Councilmember Story?
Here.
Thank you. We have an agenda in front of us. Any issues, questions?
Move approval of the agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And we have minutes.
I'll move approval of the minutes.
Second. This is correctness.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. And passed. It's time for oral communications, which is a time for the public or the board to talk about anything that's library related that's not on the agenda. I just have one quick thing. I would like to welcome Supervisor Perry here. John Leopold is stepping down, and Supervisor Perry will be taking his place here, and it will be official tomorrow, I understand. So we'll formally welcome you in our next board meeting. This is informal.
Thank you. We got a notice that we're going to, it's now possible to send us our packets electronically. And the only issue that I have is that that'll be fine for me. It'll save trees and, you know, people carrying something to some other place. But they have to, for me, and we've been doing this recently, but they have to be numbered. I can't follow this agenda if it's not numbered. So if we're going to send them electronically, because we've been hand numbering them, you know, I think at the last minute before they're printed up. So somehow we're going to have to work out a system. Otherwise,
number everything.
Starting from page one, page two, so we all can be on the same page when we refer to it. And it was because I'll print them out if they're mailed to me, that's not a problem, but they do have to have numbers when I print them out, so I don't have to go through and figure out how they fit. And that would be fine, that'd be great. Save time and money and trees.
Good idea. I'll bring my laptop with me. So I don't even have to print them.
No, I may do both, but I mean, the point is you still have to be able to find the page and refer to it.
Anything else? Let's move on. Nothing on the consent agenda, so let's move on to written communications.
I'd like to add, I passed out pretty colored papers. We have Barbara to thank for exquisite Excel skills. This one was beyond me.
Can we get frames for these?
So I had to print them in color, so I apologize. There aren't more copies of this color. But I thought that it would be nice to see these as trend lines. And we talked about two different ways to present it. One was by branch, showing everything on one, all the stats for one branch, versus the same stat for all the branches. And so we want to see it the other way. Then we can do that. But I just thought this kind of gave you a more visual way of looking at it than looking at the numbers. And since we were 6 months into the year, just to kind of see how things are going. And just as a reminder, busyness is check-in, check-out, route-ins, and route-outs. And those are things that are coming in from other branches to a branch and things a branch is sending out to go to another branch. So it's kind of a full measure of staff activity in the circulation function. So it's kind of interesting to see it this way.
And just if I could point out, because it might not be obvious, the first data point to the left by the y-axis is an average of the same time period the year before before we had done any furloughs or reduced hours. So that was just to give a comparison, because looking at July through December of this year, hours were reduced. So you can see that's why the big jump up in every category, because
it's for hours.
Our hours were down and our busyness not down as much.
And I might point out that much of this is something, it's not something to celebrate, but this is 1 year that the furlough started a year ago, February. So January stats would be okay, but in February we're going to have to start factoring in a certain number of reduced hours based on the furlough. It's more complicated.
Sam, you have a comment?
A question about the chart on reference questions per hour. I mean, the chart kind of looks like the trend line of the economic recession. I was just wondering if there's any correlation or other explanation for that.
I'm not saying I really have one. Reference does tend to drop in. Why it went up so precipitously, I'm not sure why. That one doesn't quite. I really don't have an explanation.
Could have been a tracking.
Just a period,
yeah. It might have been tracking how well we kept data, although that looks like we kept it pretty well, and then we're not keeping it as well.
I would have thought you would see more reference requests in the school year. And they go down in the summer, but in fact, in the summer is when everybody wants to have some questions they want to have answered. Maybe because school is closed. I don't know. It's like something interesting hypothesis if you develop that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
One or two months doesn't really make a
convincing
trend. We'll see what happens this coming summer.
Yeah. And it was pretty much chaos, July and August. Maybe the counting staff.
That was a great question. What's happening with the library?
Why aren't you open?
Well, you know, it's true. You know, that was counted as a reference question.
I'd just like to make one quick comment. The first article in our packet, Underwritten Communications, the transforming our image through words that work. I thought that was a great one.
I'm giving that to the Strategic Planning Committee.
Yeah. It's just a great one. Talk about framing things. It's so important. Any other comments or questions on written?
I had a question in the monthly report.
Mm-hmm.
So what's up with the bookmobile and having more problems?
Got a new transmission. It's under warranty.
Gail, you want to talk about the bookmobile and its transmission issues?
Well, the transmission went out. They replaced the transmission, and that went out. That was still under warranty, so the person who replaced it again, and then we had more problems. So I believe that they finally ended up getting a transmission from a different
vendor,
and now, so far, it's working.
But it hasn't cost us a lot of profit.
Right, it didn't cost us anything, but
I would imagine it's hard to do the rugs in the summer as opposed to the summer.
And much harder in the winter. In the summer, it's still light, and it's warmer, but in the winter it's already dark, and you're going around with lanterns hoping to find whatever you've got in the crate. So, yeah, the timing was not good either.
I can't find it now, but it was in the monthly reports, but I can't find it now, and I didn't mark it, sorry. But you referred to as satellite branches?
Mm-hmm.
What are they?
Well, the system that was developed to go into effect in July was four regional branches, Scotts Valley, Central, Aptos, and Live Oak, and the other branches were considered satellites of those regionals. So the satellites for Scotts Valley are Felton and Boulder Creek, For Central, it's Branson, Forty, and Garfield Park. For Live Oak, it's Capitola. This is a good test. And for Aptos, it's La Selva Beach. So they're sharing staff. The manager of the regional is also ostensibly managing the satellites, and that may be where you saw it, because I bring that up in a budget.
Maybe that's where it was. I can't find it now. Okay. But we refer to them as satellites.
We have them, yes.
That's the first time.
Right.
Yeah. I thought that was the first time I've seen it too.
First time I've seen it in writing.
Yeah.
I remember the regional idea.
Yes, regional right. Satellites has been since I got here in July.
It's all part of the discussion of how we're going
to... Yeah, no, I understand that, and I remember we did the regional.
Replace has
seen it.
Yeah.
That's part of the dot.
The buddy system. Any other comments? Communications? Okay. Let's move on to reports of advisory bodies. First, we have Friends.
I'm Elizabeth Walter, I'm from the board. Library, and we were very pleased with the Friends book sale, the bookstore that you decided down here in the lobby. Although it's really too new to be sure, it's likely that our sales will double. Patrons seem to love it, but we still need to come up with a name. So, what do you think? Susan's written a lot of stuff for me. If you think the store is as great as we do, you can please vote for it in the Good Times Best Of, and that's very easy. Just go to the goodtimesantacruz.com and write in Santa Cruz Friends of the Library Bookstore.
That's under a category bookstore in this contest?
I think it might be used books or something, because we've got, the books down there are not our first, brand new books. We're going to be holding a grand opening for the new store on February 26th from 5 to 7 here at Central. And we'll be sending out invitations next week, and we'll get each one of you who wants to attend. Last Saturday, we held our winter children's book sale. Everyone who attended the sale really loved it. The quality of the books was great. Unfortunately, it didn't really equate to sales. We came in a lot lower than usual. But whether it's, the economy or the fact that it was raining, people wanted to be outside, proceeds were about 25% less than usual, which is unfortunate. This weekend is the final library survey weekend. Our volunteer coordinator, Ron D'Alessandro, and Nancy Gerd did a really amazing job bringing people together to make it all happen, and we're going to get a lot of good data from that event. Thursday, February 11th is this year's kickoff of the free Small Business Survival Brown Bag Workshop. This month's topic is tax tips for your small business, led by CPA Randy Reynolds. This workshop is from 11:45 to 1 p.m. and is always on the second Thursday. The mentioning Mozart concert in January was to a sellout crowd, and we sold tickets. And it is free, and as one attendee said, it's becoming iconic. The concert is held the third Thursday of the month from 12:10 to 12:50. And the great talent that comes in, and it's a super opportunity for the community to have that. February 27th is the Boulder Creek Friends Chapters. Boulder Creek Friends Chapter's second annual library jam and book sale. And it's a community celebration. The event includes a chili feed and a kids' corner, youth book sale, music, reptiles, and several tables set up for nonprofits to provide volunteer information, and hope students can attend that also to support their volunteer efforts. I think that's lots of things going on. It's a busy month, and we're going to have a lot of friends there for what we're working on. So.
Thank you.
Moving on to the Finance Committee minutes and our report. We have the Finance Committee minutes in our package. Just let me point out that we're always going to have a lag because of the timing of the Finance Committee. So these minutes are not from our last meeting, two meetings ago. We discussed the information in these minutes in our last four meetings. So it's a little anticlimactic. And in our last meeting, which was just a week ago, we discussed the latest finance information, which is in our packet here. So I won't go into any details because we'll be covering it. Any questions? Okay, Okay, member reports. Jim, anything from Scottsdale?
We did have a meeting of our little project management team in Scotts Valley in January, and the main focus of that meeting was going over the improvements that we are going to prioritize. Knock on wood, if our bids come in lower than expected when we go out to bid. Can't count on that, but at the same time, we're continuing to hear that the construction market is so depressed that there are some cities and municipalities and public entities getting phenomenal deals on new construction, so we're hoping that that holds firm a little bit longer.
They're a third to 50% down, which is huge.
Yeah, that's, we're hearing some of that stuff too, and so if you want to
so we want the recession to continue.
Recovery can start the day after we close bidding. Absolutely.
Knock on wood instead of four microphones.
Exactly. So just getting that priority list done was the main thing. I think I mentioned the last time in December, the council heard presentations from the architects on the layout, on the inside, and priorities that Teresa's identified for the library system, even some exterior options. The council liked what it saw, gave minor corrective feedback, and the architects and our construction managers have gone back to the drawing board to develop final plans. And those will be coming out, they'll be coming to the Planning Commission in March, I believe. So that'll be the first chance that we'll all have to see their specific final recommendation. In April, they'll come to council. In May, if everything gets approved, the staff will start preparing the documents for bid, go out to bid in June, close bids in July, and accept bids, and construction begins July, August timeframe. And I was thinking, if people wanted to, that maybe in the April meeting, I could come in and give a presentation of what the architects are planning and the layout, and Teresa, maybe you and I could walk through the branch, if you thought that would be of interest, and if the board would be of interest in that, and just so you could get a feel for what's happening in specificity. And we don't have a meeting in February, so our next PMT meeting will be in March, if I'm not mistaken, so probably won't have too much news until we get those plans in mid to late March.
Thank you. Sam, anything from Capitola?
Yes, in Capitola we've been working on developing our library ad hoc committee, and we got really tremendous community response of people interested in being on the committee. We received 10 applications for 5 positions, so in a very council-like manner, we expanded the committee to 10 so that we wouldn't have to make hard choices. But I'm proud to say that we did set the committee, and maybe I'll just announce the names of the individuals on that committee, and they are Michael Arnone, Barbara Gorson, Tony Gualtieri, Mary Healy, which I understood used to work at the Library of Congress, Carl Lamont, Dennis Norton, Gail Ortiz, Sam Story, Michael Termini, and Lisa Steingrub. So that's going to be our body of 10, which will be starting their work here shortly. And so I'm hoping to be able to come back with reports on regular progress, and we can get a construction cycle that will fit into the recession. So that's our goal.
Please.
What
if you hurry?
Thank you.
All right. Staff reports.
Okay, we're going it solo tonight. Jack can't be here, so be gentle. First thing I gave you was the preliminary revenue estimate for 2010-11, which I know some of you had from the Financing Authority meeting last month, but not everybody had it. So cutting to the chase, on page 3 on the bottom, the preliminary 2010-11 estimate. Total revenues available to the Library Financing Authority will be $577,000 less than the budgeted amount for 09-10. Our share of that is 77.49%, so we're looking at $447,174 less.
So you get 447.
447,174. Stunning. So, not good.
reviewing now remind me and perhaps the rest of the board how much it was that we had set aside in that, you know, notion that we would either buy books or use it to, like, bail us out if this happened or whatever? It's a roundish number, but I don't remember exactly what we had.
We, out of the $832,000 materials budget, we reserved about $474,000 for the state to take away.
So we still have a couple months left for the last $30,000 to disappear.
Yeah. But this is for next fiscal year.
No, I understand.
So we pulled that out of the materials budget. We put some back in, and we're still reserving some for just in case. We also had built into this year's budget about $460,000 cushion to begin with. So
it's bad news, but we're not about to, like, you know, have to cut $500,000 out of our budget in addition to what we already planned. We're looking at the fact that we're going to have a reduced budget, but
yeah,
at what scale is still a little open.
Yeah. And that was, I mean, if you're looking at that amount, taking that out of the materials budget again, that's pretty severe.
No, that was not
for
the personal
for two, yeah. I mean, we're suffering, so. The next page before the numbering starts, actually, do not look at that. Look at this goldenrod sheet. I asked Ted to take a look at this, and he reworked it, and you've got a little, the goldenrod is more accurate than what you have. This was a spreadsheet that had been inherited from Ann, and I'd asked Ted to work with it, and so what you're looking at is much more accurate. And basically, we got our January payment came in, well, the payment we usually get in February came in already, came at the end of January. So this is even more recent than when you asked me. This has actually got two extra payments on it from what we had at the finance committee meeting a week ago. Once again, cutting to the chase, cumulative deficit. We have a target of February that we should be at $7 million, and the actual total is closer to $6 million. And that's sales and property tax or maintenance of effort together. That figure that you see there is 86% of what we expected, which is actually, in a sense, good news, because that's only 14% down, and we expected sales tax to be 17% down. So if you can think of that as good news.
Less bad news.
Less bad news. I mean, it's still not good. You know, we're still down $1 million, so that's quite a lot of money. But anyway, so this is the revenue sheet. Then we did get these numbered. The balance sheet, when we talked about it in finance, there's really nothing.
What number?
Page one of the finance. Here you go. You got it. And for some strange reason, when I printed this, I printed expenditures first, and I just numbered them. So expenditures are coming before revenues this month. We are 50% of the way through the year as of this report. This goes to the end of December. So what you want, looking at numbers that are way over. Many of them are due to high encumbrances, things that we encumbered at the beginning of the year, but there's still some of those. Telecommunication services outside. E-rate has been really lagging, but our E-rate consultant has been really fighting AT&T, and we did get a notice from them that they are giving us credits back to January of 2009 that they owe us. So we should be getting some of our E-rate money in. There's some, like books and periodicals, grants and donations, which is at 128%. That's because that's money that the Friends give us every month, and it's not
I know why, because I'm not looking at Teresa's contract. Actually, I'm confused. I'm looking at your copy. I have notes on mine.
What? You have separate
copies?
Well, we
have page one and page four.
What don't say that.
The big black number or the...
The big black number is what you want to be looking at.
Four.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Looking at mine much better. On page four, third one down, other professional technical services is at 117%. That's the money for Felton that we moved last month. We authorized moving money over from the Whalen Trust, and I actually signed off on that today to move that money in there. So that one's not really badly over. Some of these are high. A number of them are janitorial, things like that, equipment, building, and land rentals. Those are high encumbrances because of the time, you know, we encumber them early in the year. Telecommunication services outside, that's the E-rate. Showing 94% use, but that's, we should be getting more of that. There's a travel and meetings on page 5. It's at 136.33%, and that was charged to the wrong line. That actually should be charged in administrative services. Where there is money to pay for it.
But the absolute balance is trivial. So.
Balance is trivial, but in terms of things being over, which you asked me to point out things that are over and why they're over. Books and periodicals, grants and donations, 128.02%. That's the Friends money that comes in on a regular basis and just hasn't caught up. Down at the very bottom, miscellaneous supplies and services is at 64.7%. That's we get reimbursed from through a grant from First Five for storage. So that's why that one's high. Look on page 6 at the end, the grand total is at 48.3%. And it's 50% through the year, so we're kind of we're holding our own on expenditures. Revenues, page 7 is revenues. Once again, 50% of the year, but sales and sales tax and maintenance of effort always lag behind, which is why I give you the other revenue sheet, so they're at 42%. And you can see that they're local operating grants and contributions, that's the maintenance of effort, is really close to 42%. It's sales tax that's under. Fines and fees are all lagging. And I just realized that that document I've been sending you guys, I forgot to print it for tonight. I thought it was in the packet, but it wasn't. I did a projection 6 months, we're 6 months into the year, we have 6 months to go, projecting what our expenses and revenues have been so far and extending them out another 6 months. How are we doing? And it was actually okay. It was showing us if all continued as it was, we would actually have an extra $500,000. And I really apologize. I can't believe that. I kept thinking that.
After all that work.
And all that work. Always had a laptop. But the finance committee people have seen it, and it. I guess I can't really send it out with them.
Well, it's good news.
It was good news. I mean, it's yes, we're down, but we expected to save $400,000 that we had said we would, and then the couple hundred thousand from the saving on the book budget. So net result is about $500,000 being saved, which makes sense. So we're down some, which we knew we would be. So.
If you want to send it out to people, it can be done. You just have to also make it available to the public.
Okay. Right?
And they will. And so the downside of that is the public, it's not self-explanatory. It's to the attitude, they get calls, what is this money, or whatever. But I think it's, okay. If other members of the board would like to see it, as long as the public can see it, you can send it out to the board as a whole. And I think I would do that to see it, because okay. It was helpful to see it. I think everybody's
okay. I'm really sorry. I just had everything.
Just basically do it as an information release, and then be sent to the board. And I would put a little, cover comment on it. This is, technical thing. If it's not clear to somebody, it's going to call me or something like that. And then, basically it needs to be probably placed in the libraries.
Wherever we put the agenda.
Wherever agendas get sent and stuff. And then that way people don't have to wait a month to see it, because I thought it was very helpful. And it's actually one of the few little rivers of light we've had for a little while. So it would be helpful to send it out to people.
I will send it first thing in the morning, and then we'll go to the right places in libraries. Just when you think you have, I knew it. Always missing something.
And what I just want to add, I think that all this result was an effort on the part of the Finance Committee to try to look at the equivalent revenues and equivalent expenses over a given set period of time. Because, obviously what we're looking at always has a month lag in revenue, right. So you can't quite compare. And this cumulative revenue source, it doesn't really kind of tell you where you are in terms of your expenses. So we kind of worked with Teresa to go through this exercise and accrue all the revenue through December 31st. And so, how much have we spent? How much revenue should accrue to that period? What's mm-hmm. the difference? And so I think that if we, and I would recommend that we kind of maybe look at that summary from at our meetings each month. Finance Committee will continue to look at it, and then we have that presented so we can track it month to month.
Yeah, now that it's set up, it's easy enough to do.
Yeah.
It's it takes into account the fact that the fines and fees are really low, but they have been. So rather than count on what we said we're going to get, it's based on reality, doubling what we've got so far.
I think it's good because it takes those timing issues of when we're booking revenue away so that we can see the bigger picture of where we stand.
I felt like I was doing my taxes when I did it, because we were like a million to the good, and I'm going, that can't be. And then I was down to like 100,000, and someone else bought something else, which made me see something else. And then I think we did finally settle and agree on that it was about 500,000, which we should be. Based on all projections, doing what you said. Any questions on finance? Personnel is also holding its own too, so we're holding our expenditures. And revenues are what they are, out of our control. But not as disastrous as budget projections update. I talked to Jack on Friday. He's gone. He's on vacation this week, but he was going to start Friday trying to put those together. So hopefully I'll have something for finance at the end of the month. And certainly for the board meeting.
Can't wait.
Okay, 10-11 budget updates, schedule and considerations. The cash flow was worse in December. I'm sorry, I forgot to point that out on page 10. We jumped from $558,000 in the hole to $707,000 in the hole. There's an extra paycheck in December. The way the city pays, it's 26 paychecks a year. So twice a year there's an extra paycheck, and so December was one of them. So there's an extra payroll run, which is, it's got to be factored in. It just made that month look worse. The 10-11 budget. We have a rough idea of what our available funds are, but we haven't started the work yet of putting the expenses in. But in starting to think about it, there were some things that I thought you should all be aware of as we look at. We know we have $447,000 less, but there is also some issues that I just wanted you to start thinking about. and that's what the budget considerations food for thought page is. We know we have some increased personnel costs. We know health costs going up. We also have some reclassifications that had to be done. I don't have exact numbers yet. 8,000 is the ones that were easy to calculate. I got some figures today on another possible one that could be a lot higher in terms of the work division that needs to be looked
at. That'd be 8,000 per year.
Yes. And that one is probably closer, could have an impact, and this is just a very rough number of probably closer to 40,000.
40? Yeah. From 8 to 40?
8 was only, was one group of people. There's another group of people that need to be looked at and have that potential impact.
What's the ballpark of how many reclassifications you're talking about? 330?
Well, there's one whole division, the information technology division. They have been under study for about 2 years now, and they're finally going to finish that, and that's the big one that could be closer to $40,000 to get them on parity with the city.
How many people are in that division? Just ballpark, yeah. Less than five?
Six or seven. The other one is the bookmobile drivers, and another one is here that I'm going to bring to you next month. That's a very small one, but it's an important one for me, but I'll bring that one next month.
Is our, the city personnel department, or HR, doing the classification?
Yes. Yeah. The current branch structure, this is where
we launch into the next section. 8% of the healthcare costs, I should have looked this up, but like what's the dollar, do you know the dollar figure, what we're roughly spending? So
well, the payroll is what, about 8 million in our budget?
I didn't think to break out the. Can't see it quickly. If you don't know, it's fine.
I can do the math real quick. Payroll is budgeted at 7.5 million, so 750,000 would be 10%, so 500-something-odd thousand.
I thought the 8% was just for the healthcare costs, or is that overall for all of the personnel costs?
No, you're right, healthcare costs. Yeah. Healthcare, and we're really just going to look at health insurance, not dental or vision. I'm sorry, 61,000, 8% of that would be 8,000. Okay, the branch structure that we have right now.
Before you go to that, on the last issue, this is really general. I mean, in terms of thinking about the next year along those lines of food for thought or where things are going, don't overread what I'm saying because there's no decision been made. But we're in this, interesting relationship between the city of Santa Cruz, the bargains for us, and the fact that, on the other hand, tries to take clear advice from the library board about what it is we'd like to do over here and try to make that all work out. And we are, I think, honestly, doing our best to try and do that in a way that doesn't, we're not making the decisions that drive the library board, but the other way around. Nonetheless, the bargaining is taking place in closed session with the city council as we begin to talk to our various units, including SEIU that represents people here and operating engineers and middle management. And we're starting serious discussions, and I know these are taking place in other cities in the county informally, and that's the level it's at, totally informal. We're beginning to look at the question of whether the pension costs are sustainable given the other kinds of needs that go on. And I come to this from kind of a union perspective. This is not like how can we save money and like give workers less or something, but more how can we create a situation where we can afford to pay workers pay increases when the inflation starts to start up, and how can we have service for people and not lay everybody off in order to sustain a pension plan. And this, I know there's a lot of very conservative folks in California who think we just pay the public sector too much, which is not my view at all. But we are talking quite seriously and beginning discussions with our labor unions, and this won't happen except if it's bargained with the labor unions. It's not like we can impose this on people. discussing whether some kind of reduction in the pension package, probably not in the form of how much money you take home when you retire, but what age you get to retire as the more likely form this is going to take. People would be asked to work longer before they get to retire, and as a result, we save a huge amount of money, which then, since the, you know, the vast majority of the cost in the library, as well as the rest of the city, is in fact the salaries and benefits to employees, it's a question of whether, and this is what has to be bargained and talked about with the unions, we haven't had these discussions, it's been mentioned to all the units in the city, including the people that work in the library, but there's no decisions have been made, whether it makes sense to think about some reduction in the pension package as an exchange for being able to actually give people, you know, get not furlough everybody all the time and never have money for pay increases, which is the context that we're in right now otherwise. So I just want people to be aware that those discussions are going on. In San Diego County, every city in the county, which is a big county with a lot of cities, decided they were going to go there, and they've now worked out some kind of a pact. I don't know the details of it. They haven't yet imposed it, but that's where they're going. San Jose is looking at this. I know in this county, at least a couple of the cities are having, again, very informal discussions about this, but I don't know what stage they're at. But that's something for us to begin thinking about, and for library employees to begin thinking about how that works, and their bargaining representatives, of course, have got to, like, be involved in these discussions. Again, we can't simply impose that on the people that work here. It's a bargaining issue between the units and the city formally, but it's going to take advice as well from the library board about how the library board wants the city to bargain that question. So those are important issues.
Does the Joint Powers Board go into closed session to talk about?
We can give instructions in closed session, which then get carried to the city council in closed session, which are appropriate ways to handle those. As long as we're talking philosophy, as I am right now in the abstract, right, it should be an open session. But as we begin to actually say what we'd like to see bargained on behalf of this organization, that can be in a closed session, because you obviously can't bargain if you totally expose your side of the bargain any more than the unions want us in the middle of their meetings about how they feel about these issues. But I just think people should be aware that that's a discussion that's just at the beginning stages and far away from any kind of final decisions.
Typically, has the board done that?
We've done it at least once, I can remember, not commonly, but I think when we get close to, you know, when there's new contracts being bargained for SEIU and
which
for the
is later
engineers,
this spring,
we have met in closed session at least briefly to sort of send our message to the city council, about what do we want to see, and, you know, how much money do we have, and what degrees of freedom do we have, because obviously you don't want the city council bargaining some agreement that bankrupts the library. That would be a disaster.
I'll talk to Lisa about the timing on...
She's the one that's raising these questions with the unions. And yeah. Again, there's been no formal bargaining about this. She is just met Lisa Sullivan, the city's human resource director, who we've all met now, has started raising this concern and saying, like, we're going to want to talk about this. If you begin to, here's the issues, you guys need to start talking about this. And it's just been floated as an idea at this point. Nothing else has happened with it. It obviously affects us directly, so we need to know that.
To Mike's point, we're actually starting our budget discussions in Scotts Valley this week, and that's an item that we're going to be talking about as well, just opening the conversation about what's sustainable in terms of retirement age, what's sustainable in terms of, you know, defined benefit plans, with the main focus being, of course, what do we do for future employees? And, you know, we've got things that have been struck with people who are in place now.
You don't get to re-bargain what you want 20 years of thought you're going to get when they retire. This is a question of whether you want to start a different pension plan for new employees as we hire them.
Well, I went through that in Oregon. Yeah. There's two different plans. New people start on one, and people who were on it, their old plan stopped, and then you start on a new one, which is different than the one that new people were coming in on. But,
I mean, the problem is bad enough that we don't want to be in the situation that some of the, you know, Ford Motor Company or whatever, where they start just to walk away from their pension plans. But I assume that's not going to happen in Santa Cruz or the library or anywhere else. So, I mean, that's the fearful option that you have if you don't look at this question and begin to discuss it. And believe me, I was dragged kicking and screaming into this discussion because my first thought is, take anything away from the employees, not going to happen on my watch. But the question is, what's going to get taken away these days, right? You know, are you going to be laid off? Are you going to have your furlough, reduction in pay, whatever? This needs to be in the mix of discussion. That's where we're at.
Amen. Yeah, it's really about sustainability, not only of the services that any local agency wants to offer, but sustainability and confidence that employees are going to know they're going to be able to not have a furlough that's going to last for multiple years. You know, it's give some element of predictability. So we're looking at the same thing. And just as long as we're talking generally at a philosophical level, one thing, if this is just my opinion, but if the city were to start negotiating and look at what they would negotiate for the library system employees, I think last year we shut for Christmas week and Thanksgiving week, I think. And one of the main reasons we did that was because it's time and a half based on the agreement that the city of Santa Cruz struck. And that may have well been the right thing to do for the city of Santa Cruz. I'm not questioning that at all. I guess the question for me would be is, do we have the option maybe in this next round to not necessarily be bound by that? Like if we wanted, for example, to try and come up with an option that would keep at least Central open for a week or two where there's lower usage throughout the system so that there's one library somewhere that has a strong base level of services that people can get to, even if it's a 20 or 30 minute drive for a lot of people. So at least my perspective, if to the extent that we could have maximum flexibility here in terms of how we'd want to set hours and so forth, I would appreciate that.
And I've actually already mentioned that issue to Lisa, and I think we can.
And in case people aren't aware of it, the furlough system we've established is not sustainable. Aside from the question of, you know, how hard the harshness of it on the employees, we've worked this out. We didn't reduce anybody's PERS benefits, even though we reduced the time that they work, and that becomes an unfunded liability to the library that you can basically, not immediately, but in years out. And so you could do that for a year or two, but you can't keep doing that. At some point, all of a sudden, you're not putting aside money for people's retirement. And that's exactly what happened to the private sector companies that are now saying, we can't afford our pension, we're just going to abandon it. And again, that's not where we're going to go.
And yeah, Jack is very aware of that and keeps reminding everyone. And what I have to remember is that we started 6 months earlier than the rest of the city.
Right.
So we'll be at this 2 years, a year from now. So if the furlough continues. So I think that's something we need to keep in mind as well, and maybe should have gone down and food for thought. Okay, now we move on to number two.
Yeah.
This is where your satellite branch came in, Catherine. You definitely saw it. Staff put this into play at the request of, you know, we had to come up with something real quick, but we are finding, and I don't think there's anybody on the staff who would disagree with me, it's not working. Anybody think it's working? We don't really have many. Well, we've got Valerie's frontline staff here, otherwise we've got mostly managers, but I don't know, word on the street, but I'm sorry, I can't see you. I'm sorry, I didn't see you back there, Jason. I'm sorry. You're blocked by Richard.
So you plan on coming in with a recommendation on increase of, I take it, supervision?
We're going to need to come up with something.
So it'll be a dollar figure on that, too.
Well, a lot of that depends on how we end up being structured. So we have to have discussions on what are the branches going to be doing, what is the role of each branch. And we're going to need to talk seriously about what we want to happen in a given branch. I mean, is it going to be what it is now? Is it going to be something different? Expanded services, less services? What kind of hours do we want? And so there's a lot of different options, so when we talk, I guess, next month when we really have the budget hearing and you start giving direction, these are some of the things we need to take into account with whoever we end up structuring ourselves. We need some sort of supervision in the smaller branches. In every location needs some supervision. Now, it might be that, you know, Felton and Boulder Creek can share a manager. You know, they may be able to, but as long as it's somebody assigned to do that, whereas right now it's too amorphous and it's staff is suffering for it, and I think it has an effect on customer service at a certain point. Besides the fact everybody wants more hours, that's a given, okay? The hours that we came up with, I believe the schedule was meant to be easy for people to remember. You open at 11 or you open at 1. You close at 5 or you close at 7. I mean, it's supposed to be fairly consistent. People are so confused. They don't know what hours are open anyway, so we might as well give them some of the hours that they want, even if it's not an increase in hours, maybe different hours.
If the brand wants it, or the people want.
Right, yeah. So people want different hours, mm-hmm. So we need to maybe do some adjusting there. we are going to need to come up with, and a lot of this, I hope, will come through the strategic plan, but our conversations are going to have to start sooner than that. What kind of services, what is a baseline of services that we're going to offer system-wide, specific branches, how are we going to do this? I gave an example of dropping lease books at Garfield Park, and I got a complaint today of another branch where they were complaining about, I can't remember where it was, where we dropped lease books. But, you know, we had to cut back. They're not getting as much, but they want more. So I hate to say it, but you're going to have to be part of, sorry, this is, you're open. This is what you get. Or, you know, how do we want to prioritize? Or, you know, this branch is going to have the new books, and this branch just isn't. I mean, that's not the purpose of that branch. The purpose of this branch is something else. And this is a branch you're going to have computer access, but you're not going to have books. Here you're going to have books, but not computers. I mean, there's lots of different ways of doing it. So it's a lot of discussion that we'll have to have. And in terms of, there's a lot more options than just 10 libraries as they are now, open the hours they are now. And I guess that's what I'm trying to say, is we need to be open and looking at a lot of different ways of directions and going. We also have to accept the fact we can't keep putting it off. We're going to need to face that we need to plan for facility and technology upgrades. We can't go on this way. So that's kind of, I don't want to be doom and gloom, but
you also don't want to lie to us.
I'm not lying, and I'm trying, you know, just trying to get everybody just starting to think. No lying, yes.
So in terms of the supervision of the satellite branches and adjustment of hours, is that something you foresee waiting until the new budget year to start, or
yes,
is this some of it can be done before that?
No, I see the new budget year. I think we're prepared. I think we're prepared to live through this year. kind of resigned to it. So yeah, sometime in the next fiscal year, and it may be that, you know, we decide something can't happen until halfway through the year or something. I mean, that might be an answer on some things. Maybe save a little bit of money, but.
I just wonder, you know, if it's really untenable for the staff, if there's, you know, something that can be done sooner rather than later that doesn't have a huge cost impact.
I'd rather wait and make it all that we move forward in a direction. We know what direction we're going in, and that's part of it. And I feel anything we do now is more of a Band-Aid, and we're functioning. I mean, it may not be the best, and I promise Sam the next time he goes to Capitola, we'll have surveys to hand out. He got there and there were no surveys and nobody would print it. And it was just, you know, confusion because no one was in charge.
I'm assuming when I get the Trader Joe's on Saturday, somebody will show up with surveys, right?
Well, they didn't tell you have to make copies yourself?
They told me I'd do it.
He was just...
It was a soft comment that I made about just my experience of what happened. So.
Yeah, no,
I'm just,
it's nobody's fault if the staff is just super, super busy and they, you know, things fall through the cracks, and you know, having somebody, you know, assigned to be watching for it, and it being part of their job, and then not working out of class to do it, you know, have proper expectations of people. So, on the back page of that budget consideration is the schedule. That actually Barbara put together.
I can talk to it. It's the same as last year, which is why it was easy for me to put it together. The only difference, I think, is that in next month, in March, Jack and Teresa will be presenting the long-term financial projections for us. Otherwise, it's the same. The March meeting is the meeting where we'll want to hear public input on their priorities for services and programs. And it would be nice if we could get that, I don't know, advertised out to the public in a way that's a little different from our normal board meetings, I think. Next month, we as a I didn't see. We as a board.
He promised he would. That's Jim Brown is the new Sentinel reporter.
We as a board will also be giving direction to Teresa so she can go off and develop the details. We'll be giving her direction on our priorities. Same thing, priorities on services and programs. And then we'll be hearing back with a draft budget in May. If you're ready in April, I'm sure we'd love to see it in April, but May is the time frame we've got down. And then, as we all know, we need to have our budget approved by the end of June. And I don't know, as we get into this, if we think, my expectation is that it's going to take a lot of discussion. We may well have a lot of public input at some point once the draft budget is out there. We may want to tentatively schedule an extra meeting in May.
I think we booked the Civic for when? For June or May?
Okay. Oh,
way ahead.
Civic.
Who? No, it has to be council chamber this time.
I hope we don't need to go there. So it's the same schedule as last year.
The only complication with advertising the March budget meeting is if we end up moving that meeting to the 8th.
Oh, that's true.
Which my plans now are if I hear on a my grandchild, if I hear on a Wednesday, that gives me the 72 hours notice before Monday. But otherwise, we'll stay and we'll go to the following weekend. But starts a weekly visit on Wednesday, so we'll see.
Okay.
Any other comments? March 1st or 8th, depending on.
Keep checking back. Any other comments or inputs on budget?
The long-term financial projections, are that like 3 to 5 years out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to security system.
This was a happy night to me. To read this, it was wonderful.
Okay.
Best thing since last year.
Okay.
News, I should say.
Basically, I see this, I described it to somebody today. I feel like we're kind of dammed up here, and we kind of need to start removing some of the pieces from the dam to start moving forward a little bit. And so this is just, it's kind of a bold move, but I don't really think we have a lot to lose by it. If it doesn't work, then we look towards a new modern security system down the line. Have to change our projected budget for revenues for a few years down the line, but that's okay. And it accomplishes a couple of things right away, making the in terms of staff, impact of staff on the ergonomic part, ease of self-check, which you saw the demonstration of self-check, and it just kind of starts moving us forward. The other part of this, and I don't remember if I had this in here, that we would have receipt printers. Yeah, well, self-check machines. Oh, we need to equip staff checkout machines with receipt printers at $200 each. Actually, they're $225. We've got an update since I wrote this. And we've got some friends' money that we're going to use to pay for them right away. So we can buy those. So that's a service improvement right there. Mm-hmm. Someone checking out their books, they're going to get a receipt. Whether they use self-check or a staff member, they can get a receipt right then and there. Tells them what they've got checked out. Some people like to have it in their book. They can still have a card. We have a lot of cards. my experience is most people prefer to have the printout, stick it on their refrigerator. They know which books they need to go searching for under the couch, and they're much happier. So,
being shifted, it's on the borrower to keep track of when their books are due.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they have a receipt. It looks like your grocery list. Mm-hmm. That's your job, is to keep track of your own books instead of the library having to put the
cards. So if anybody can think of an art project with cards,
They have metal in them, so they can't be recycled.
We can build a house of cards.
I think we should give it to them.
Or maybe we already have.
Give it to the teens or something, they'll figure something out.
Anyway, we can give Matt his book, you know, people can use his bookmarks for a long time. So, I don't want to go through this point by point. Are there any questions, concerns?
Thank you for that.
Yeah, really, thank you.
The assumption here, or the expectation, is the loss rate won't increase.
I think we will lose some more things.
I was just trying to get a sense of, because now I don't know.
Acceptable loss rate.
Libraries, with and without security systems, interestingly enough, have about the same loss rate. It's usually close to about 5 to 8%. Depends on the area of the collection. But 5%, more or less. Things like popular DVDs, which we are still going to keep in locking cases, at least for a while. And rock CDs, which we don't really have rock and roll CDs here. Those can suffer more in the 12 to 15% range. Our loss rate is really low, below 1%, and it's not the security system that's doing it, because the security system is very easy to get by. So.
Do you know why we have the security system?
Because libraries always have security systems.
It's just a thing to do.
Yeah, and in its day, this checkpoint system was state of the art, but most libraries now have a system where the strip is in the, if they don't have RFID, the strip is in the spine. It gets dropped into the spine, and then you desensitize by taking, you know, going like that with the book.
So it's the university answer.
And you're not opening the book and putting this card in and out. You're not sorting due date due cards. You're not having an old card catalog taking up, you know, umpteen space in your facilities where you're filing cards by date. Now, we are wondering what we're going to do with some of the people that do community service work for us, because that's usually the job that they get to do. And Richard's going, now what am I going to have them do? Maybe he's going to have them wash books, I don't know, clean shelves or whatever. But it's incredibly labor intensive. I was going to calculate all the staff time or whatever, but it was just...
What a waste of even more staff time.
Yeah, I mean, that's a savings that's harder to measure in terms of, you know, what it could mean. But it could have an impact of it down the line. Once again, less work staff has to do on that. They can be working on other things. Or eventually it could translate to extra hours if enough of these things come up that staff don't need to be doing at a given time. I mean, I want to make that promise. How, what does this translate to? But it's all part of, it's kind of the first piece to kind of break that dam open and start doing some things.
I want a motion on this. It looks like
I want a recommendation that you suspend. I want it on the record, so if there's
sure.
Any.
I'll move the recommended action on the second page here.
Second.
Support the library decision to suspend the use of current material security system to facilitate self-check, save money, facilitate efficiency, and staff health and safety.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Is there any input from the public on this?
Do it.
Okay. any other discussion on board? All right. Do we have a motion and a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passed.
And basically, at this point, we'll just turn off the gates. We won't physically remove them. So that's sometimes a deterrent in and of itself that they actually are there. Although there are some places in time I would like to remove the center gate. Walk into the central library sometime. What's the first thing you see?
Yeah.
Live Oak also. Central's you might keep a little, Live Oak, you know. And I haven't really noticed in the other benches as much as there's one right in your face as you come in. But just we're welcoming.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bylaws review.
Looking at the parking lot.
We were supposed to do a bylaws review in February. But Barbara and I talked, and
we didn't know why we needed to do a bylaws review. And given the fact that over the next few months, I think we're going to be really busy doing other things, we thought we could push it out, unless there is an objection, we could push it out to later in the year. and at that point put a little subcommittee together to take a look and see if we need any revisions to our bylaws, but now is not the time.
Given what's on our plate, I move that we take this off the parking lot list and just, you know, have it disappear until somebody thinks there's a problem with our bylaws.
Is that a motion?
That was a formal motion.
I was second that. Motion of brilliance.
Any discussion?
I always like to take something off the parking lot list. That's my chance.
Do I bylaws allow us to do that?
You'll have to review
them.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Okay. I have a question on volunteer philosophy and strategic review. Are those can be really two separate things, can't they? Are they?
Volunteer strategy
is one. And strategic review, I mean, we've got this huge document we'll be reviewing, but what's...
No, well, it's strategy. Volunteer strategy, not the strategic plan review, but the volunteer philosophy and volunteer strategy. Review of those two.
Strategy.
Mm-hmm. Our strategy of using volunteers.
Everybody's got strategic.
Okay.
I mean,
use of volunteers.
Use lots of volunteers as long as there's reasonable supervision. I think we've already got a philosophy.
Yeah,
now, true. What does that mean? It's a strategy to actually do something. That's a different question.
Okay, got it.
Okay. Strategic plan update. Doing a survey.
Thank you to all of you who have handed them out, and to Lee, who's doing data entry, I believe, and Barbara,
we're all
Nancy,
doing
everything on this, and we've got what I think over 1,500 surveys at this point.
Yeah, we're getting very good response.
Strategic planning is not on here, but it's not
Under other business strategic. Oh, under the parking lot items.
Yeah.
It's not on there.
That's why I thought. I mean, that's a big one.
Yeah, it is a big one.
Maybe we think that's actively happening.
I don't think it's a parking lot.
I don't think it's a parking lot.
Well, none of these are.
You don't want to leave a car with its engine running. You know?
But the draft budget, I mean, that's just work we're going to automatically be doing because it's in motion. So to me, parking lot items, remember, I was the last to figure out what parking lot.
Well, we can put on there.
We can start using this, I think, for my recollection.
Future agendas is really what
that's
it
right.
is.
Yeah, future agenda
that
items
gotten to,
that are more
that
one-off.
That
one-off.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. One-off. Do you want me to add to the strategic plan?
No, we can review this.
Well, maybe you two work
it out. We want to put it on, after the strategic plan is adopted, we'll want to put it on for periodic. Of course, I plan to review it pretty much every month.
I think
there's
two different things.
I just suggest without a motion that Teresa and the chairs meet and figure out what's appropriate
yes,
on this
I
or not
too.
On this.
Yeah.
And bring it back next time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to just make one more comment on the strategic plan update. If everybody here has not filled out a survey, you should do that.
I haven't done it.
Online is real easy, or at your branch library, or go to a few of the grocery stores around the county this weekend on Saturday.
Go
meet Mike at Trader Joe's and come to Knob Hill in Capitola. But please take the survey, and really, the more response we can get, the better. So I've sent an email out to my contacts, giving them the online link and asking them to go and complete it. So I urge everybody to do the same.
And what's the end date for Saturday?
Saturday.
Is when the survey is going to take place.
Yep. And we can start looking at the data. Okay.
It's better if you do it online than nobody has to enter.
A board evaluation update, there is none. We've been busy with the strategic plan, so we will come back at some point and give an update that has some content to it.
This last item was we were asked to pass this resolution. And it's basically So then again, take our money away again. Just of it. The state can't take the money away again. And what I attached was the city council agenda report. They came to me like the day before the agenda was due, so I took the easy way out, just gave you what the city council agenda report seemed well worded, very nicely done. I assume Tina wrote this and did a nice job. So,
Tiana Sessions wrote it originally for the lead help for the cities, and then Tina adapted it to our format.
Okay. But yeah, what they sent me, I was going to have to do a lot of work on, so this was much better. So there you have the resolution in support of the Local Taxpayer Public Safety and Transportation Protection Act of 2010. I ask that anybody affected the last time passed this resolution, so I bring it before you.
And this is going before all kinds of bodies, the transit board,
yes.
Water boards, fire boards in the county, you know, things like that. It affects all of us. And I'm assuming everybody here understands what the issue. The shortest version of the problem is that a bunch of voter initiatives and former even state actions that took place before you required voter initiatives to do them and put money into funding the library accounts and city council funding and for the transit, so for Prop 42 for transit, Prop 1A, B, and C, all have these escape clauses in them saying this is money will go to local government unless there's a state of emergency declared at the state, in which case they can borrow the money. Can't take it, so they can borrow the money and then pay it back. And the governor's declared, you know, permanent forever role in the state of emergency, which they can seize everything, even though they don't have the ability to ever pay it back. And you know, basically, this is going to stop that kind of foolishness and force the state to balance its own budget rather than stealing money from libraries and transit boards and cities and counties and stuff to balance their budget. So I will move that we adopt this resolution in support of this Taxpayer Public Safety and Transportation Protection Act of 2010.
I will second. And I'll also add to what Mike said, this is something that affects every local jurisdiction. It doesn't matter what your jurisdiction is in the business of doing. We all have a stake in seeing that this succeeds. And I forget the name of the group that is the California to Protect Local Taxpayers and Vital Services. They are looking for people to help gather petitions to get this on the ballot. And we need something like over 600,000 signatures that are needed. So it would be. I've taken a petition. I'm going to try and get that filled. And I know some of us in Scotts Valley are trying to do the same. It'd be great for anybody who's got a stake in local government, and that's all of us to do the same to make sure this thing makes the ballot.
You know, let me also add, in the world of gloom and doom, they're ahead of schedule in terms of the signature gathering already. It's going really well. And if anybody wants signature petitions to gather signatures, let me know because I can get them for you. It's really easy and it's really important. And also, the other good news is they did polling on this before they decided to move with it in the exact form that it is. And it's polling at about 75%, or indeed 66% for it to happen, and it's polling like 75% statewide, which is people like local government and local agencies and libraries and fire districts don't have much love for the legislature and the governor these days.
Did Capitol and Scotts Valley pass?
We haven't, but this will be coming up. And
yeah, February 11th, it's on the agenda.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
One last thing. It also would be nice to have the unions that represent our employees who benefit from us having a budget with money in it and stuff to think about possibly endorsing this stuff as well. It's a potential conflict inside of SEIU because they also have state employees who wouldn't benefit from this. But the majority of their members actually are in local government agencies, but not in the state, not the state employees. But the state employees are all in one place and they're well organized, and so it's going to be a battle inside of SEIU, frankly, to get what we need out of this. But I would hope that our local members might think about working on getting this stuff to happen. Again, not because it's our interest, because it's in their interest to make this happen.
All right. Any input from the public on this before we vote? All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passed.
That's unanimously, I would vote for the record.
So, do we then send this to somebody?
Yes.
You send it to the coalition. We'll have to do it.
Now, you could just call Tina and tell her we did this, and she'll support it to Deanna, who's the person who's going to, like, make use of it. You know, she's building a list of which agencies have endorsed this.
Okay. And so forth.
Just call Tina tomorrow.
Yeah, like I said, it was real last minute. The person that play tag, and then
I may have an email. All right, so we will adjourn to our next scheduled meeting of March 1st, most likely. Or March 8th, perhaps. Thank you.
I'm hoping it's early.